You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Wrath of God. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
If you use email, you know that some people are fond of forwarding messages. Not too long ago, someone forwarded a story to me, the gist of which goes like this. A father noticed that his young son had a problem with anger. Tantrums were the order of the day for this child. The slightest thing set him off. So the father sat the boy down and talked to him about it. The father said, "Each time you feel yourself getting angry, go to the backyard and take out your anger by pounding a nail into the fence." The boy did just that. And it wasn't too long before quite a few nails had been pounded into the backyard fence. As the days went by, the father noticed that his son was picking up the hammer and nails less frequently because he was learning how to control his anger. The father complimented the boy on his new self-discipline, but taught his son one additional lesson. He walked him out to the fence, gave him the hammer, and asked him to start removing the nails that he had angrily pounded in. The boy did. "What do you see?" asked the father. "The holes left by the nails," answered the son. "So it is with us," said the father. "Our anger goes away, but the damage we can do when we are angry remains." Now, sometimes you and I hammer others with our anger, and at other times we are on the receiving end. We're the ones being pounded. The reasons people get angry are as numerous as the day is long. The violence that has erupted in American high schools has taught us that we, as a society, need to get a handle on anger. In all this talk, however, one person is usually forgotten: the father. The best solution to violence in our society comes out of the way the Heavenly Father has dealt with His anger. Yes, His anger. The Bible teaches that God is our Father in heaven. He's not a grandpa, aged and half asleep in his rocking chair, little energy left in his old body to deal with unruly children. That's the way people often picture God, the grandpa in heaven. But a grandpa He definitely is not. He is the Father in heaven. And like any good father, He is intensely interested in the conduct of His children. And when His children prove unruly, well, listen to some passages from the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 32, verse 13 says, "The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and He made them wander in the desert 40 years, until the whole generation of those who had done evil in His sight was gone." What ticked God off? The Bible says that the Israelites were not following Him wholeheartedly, something He had commanded in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, when He said, "You shall be holy." You know, sooner or later, most parents tell their children, "If you are going to live under our roof, you'll follow our rules." God's that way with His children. "You shall be holy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." "Yeah, Dad, right," they thought, and did their own unruly thing anyway. Since almost all the Israelite adults who had left Egypt did not follow their Heavenly Father wholeheartedly, God was angry and did not let them enter the Promised Land. That anger at their disobedience became an occasion for the Father to teach the next generation. Psalm 95 says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. That was then. This is now. Isn't he now a God of love? I've often heard people say that the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that God was angry in the Old Testament, but loving in the New. If that were true, what a deal! You could live any way you want and without any fear of giving an account to God. After all, he has no anger anymore. Just love. Just doting, absent-minded love coming from his heavenly rocking chair. Now that I mention it, maybe that's what's happening in our society. Maybe people are showing their anger in such terrible ways because they don't realize that God gets angry when his children don't live by the house rules. Whatever you or I might think, a general truth is laid down in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. The soul that sins shall die. That's a promise God cannot forget. He cannot ignore his anger against sin. Oh, he can hold that anger back. To be sure, he does restrain his anger at sin. But sooner or later, the father must keep his word and punish the disobedience of his children. To do anything less would be to go against his very nature. Exodus 34 says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Are you listening? This is not good. The New Testament says that you and I have a problem with the Father. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, says Romans 3, verse 23. Like the rest, says Ephesians 2, verse 3, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's like being born with a bullseye on your chest. The just God has promised to hammer sinners. The soul that sins shall die. Definitely not good. But is it really true? Last spring, when anger erupted so terribly at Columbine High School, some of us asked, where's God? Shouldn't his anger be unleashed immediately upon such awful conduct? Rather than look for God to rush people to the woodshed, which, by the way, wouldn't be good for any of us, because it would be a precedent for getting hammered every time you did something wrong, let's see what God did at the cross. There's more healing and hope for us all at the cross than at the woodshed. Remember that God is faithful. He keeps his word. As I said, he has to punish sin. Exodus 34 said he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Right must be done. Justice must be satisfied. We also know from 1 John 4, verse 8, that God is love. God is not love only sometimes or only in certain places. God is love. That's his nature. But how can we have it both ways? After Columbine and other atrocities, we want justice, but we also want love. How can our Father's justice, his anger at sins, be totally satisfied without compromising his love? And how can our Father's unconditional love be expressed without compromising his justice? The answer is the cross. There you see Jesus Christ. Jesus is true man. He had to be truly human in order to take our place before the judgment of God. The Christ on the cross is also true God. He had to be true God to withstand the divine punishment of sin. Son of God and Son of Man, at the cross, Jesus suffered the Father's wrath against all the sins of all people of all time. He took the bullseye upon himself. He was punished for the killers at Columbine. He was being punished for the atrocities in countless wars. And, closest to home, he was punished for you and for me. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was receiving the punishment that we had deserved. Remember my opening story and the holes left in the fence because of the boy's anger? Through the suffering Jesus experienced when he was nailed to the cross, the Heavenly Father took care of his justifiable anger at your sins. And in so doing, he also demonstrated his unconditional love for you. How can you look at Columbine and at other atrocities in the world and know that ultimately there is justice? How can you know that there is love? Only at the cross of Jesus Christ. St. Paul summarizes in Romans chapter 3, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus." Horatio B. Spafford, a hymn writer of the 19th century, wrote a hymn that is dear to many people today. "My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." If you don't go to the cross, if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, then your accounts cannot be settled with God. Without faith in Christ, that bullseye is still on your chest. The New Testament book of Revelation looks to the future and says of those without faith in the Savior, "They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Jesus Himself said it most succinctly, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." John 3, verse 36. Our society is hurting because too many young people and too many older people don't know how to control their anger. That father in my opening story didn't teach his son about anger by taking him out to the woodshed. He taught him wisely and gently. So also our Heavenly Father has not met our sins with an immediate show of anger. Throughout the Bible and in our own experience, sinners are seldom struck down immediately upon their sin, no matter how atrocious the sin might be. God is slow to anger, abounding in mercy. The final day of judgment will come. God keeps His promises. But why the delay? God, our Savior, says 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants more people to come to the cross. All the solutions being proposed to violence in our society are worth considering. But when you've read deeply in the Bible, you see that the proposed solutions are bandages on a wound that lies much deeper. The solution is less in applying broad governmental policies and legislation, and more in each one of us looking at the holes. Looking at the holes in the cross and pondering what Jesus went through for us. The more that people know that God's anger has been turned away, the better shall we be able to curb violence in our society. My sin, not in part but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Is it well with your soul? Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.